You guys, we are back from Seattle and we have the cutest news story to kick off this podcast with before we dive into some other fun stuff. Isn't that right, Ash?
That's right. Are we pausing for our intro?
Now would be a good time to do that.
Okay. Felt like nothing, just take it all in. Just try to eat easy each other, build a big little life. Okay, so we were in Seattle. Technically, we were staying on Bainbridge Island. Dallin and I went out there very spur of the moment. My mom was able to babysit. Tickets went on sale. And most importantly, we were able to stay there for free because my friend lives on Bainbridge Island.
So nice out there.
And it's beautiful. I went to Ireland once. All of these little towns along the coast of Seattle and like Washington and Oregon, they reminded me so hard of the little towns in Ireland.
I've never been to Ireland. I would love to go.
It's magical.
It's just so green.
And beautiful.
I mean,
and
we
green,
live in Utah.
And we just,
the mountains have trees and stuff, but over there, there's just trees every single place that you haven't cut them down yet. And it's just, and they're humongous, so green.
Here's the thing about the Utah Valley. There were never trees here.
In the mountains.
In the mountains.
But no, we live in this giant valley that was a desert until it was settled.
Well, before it was a desert, it was a bracken, salty lake.
Yeah.
Where nothing could grow.
It went from lake to not a lake. And now there's a city here.
And just nothing grows here.
And so just the vast difference in the amount of trees in the Pacific Northwest to Utah is vast.
Do you want
to
know what my prevalent
really wrong
thought was the
but
whole time?
Just, man, it's so pretty there, is what we're saying.
My prevalent thought was, gosh, they wouldn't need a sprinkler system for any of their yards here. Do you guys know how much sprinkler systems cost?
And how much water we need to pay for each month
to water
our yards?
Making a patio in our backyard
instead
or grass turf.
Man, I would love to have a turf yard.
Yeah, someone in Washington had one and it was nice.
Looked so good.
I don't know how that works with animals.
I don't know. Anyways, you guys, welcome to the podcast. We love having you here so much. It's just so much fun to hang out with you and talk and chill. I said chalk and till with you.
So the news story we wanted to share, we saw it. It happened the day we were leaving, or the news story was released the day we were on the ferry, on the water, leaving Seattle. And we were so intrigued reading it that we did not see a gray whale breaching
right next to our ferry as we're going across from Bainbridge Island to Seattle.
We've had our eye out for a whale the whole time.
We never saw one.
This news story, ironically, is about a whale. So we were just drinking it up. And as we are reading it, a whale, apparently a baby whale, breached.
Of all things.
And
yeah, we
was
missed
just
it.
Ready
so,
to kill somebody.
So the news story comes from Seattle. And it happened literally yesterday as of this recording
and
in the beginning
so
of June.
It's so amazing because it's about an orca whale who had a baby. And this orca whale is a member of the J-Pod, which is like the local family of the Seattle.
Whales have really cool names, their groups.
I know.
Usually it's just like a herd or like a group, but they get like a J-Pod, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think there's like A-Pod, B-Pod, C-Pod. And
they're all cool.
All the whales are named like J-1,
why don't we
J-15.
We should change like the Dashley group should be like the Dashley pod. How about that? Is this why Steve Jobs named it the iPod?
The intelligent family.
Oh my gosh. He's from the coast.
There it is. Mystery.
The
answered.
Intelligent. Is that what the I stands for?
I don't know. I just figured it stood for something.
Steve,
smart.
You dog. I've never learned why he named it the iPod, but maybe he loved whales. I know he ate a ton of fruit.
Oh, because
you know
this whale family is the J-Pod.
Uh-huh.
And the iPod is the iPod.
Uh-huh. The iPod family. Did you know that Steve Jobs was on a purely Apple diet when he had to come up with the name of his computers? And so he's like, well, let's call it Apple.
So many things
he was eating only apples.
About Steve Jobs are really awesome, but the more I learned about him, so many things are super weird and strange.
I
would have been his friend.
Did a lot of drugs, and he was a freaking genius, and he was a marketing guru, and he really like knew how to market products to people's motivations rather than just what it was. He spoke to people's hearts, I haven't finished the book. All I know is the beginning where I learned that he did a ton of drugs and he went on crazy like fruit only diets and he didn't wear shoes or shower a lot. And investors like didn't take him seriously because he showed up stinking super bad and he was kind of a hippie.
I just thought you told me he didn't have a great relationship with his family.
Well, that too. Yeah. He was, yeah.
Anyways, let's
and
get back
I
to the whales.
I stopped reading the book. I haven't gone back to it because I have read like 5 books at once and never finished most of them. Anyways, that was a big tangent. If you know why the iPod is named iPod and it doesn't have anything to do with whales, please let us know. But for now, we're going to choose to believe that he was a big whale fan.
Okay, listen.
That was
this
just a 2-minute
whale
tangent.
Baby is the first baby that's been born and survived in a long time of the J-Pod in Seattle.
That's good news.
They're endangered. I guess this year is kind of a hard year because there's a salmon shortage, is what I've gleaned from my listenings to the locals. It's such an issue that some killer whales are killing other whales because they are not getting full on salmon.
That's sad.
Yeah. So just people be better. Recycle more.
Well, what's killing the salmon?
I don't know. People are fishing them, maybe?
Are we killing the salmon?
Well, worried. We eat salmon.
I love salmon.
I know. Stop eating salmon, everybody.
Okay, we'll also do more research on what is killing the salmon and report back to you momentarily.
The purpose of this podcast is just to introduce ourselves in a way that I don't think we really have, and to just break down how we became who we are, because we didn't plan on this being what we did. We kind of wake up shocked every morning that this is our thing. And I think our families do too.
Like, whoa, okay. Yeah, it's really funny. I mean, all of our early followers, we just got another message just a little bit ago. Like, it's so cool that you guys do this for a living. And it just kind of, I mean, everybody, like other YouTubers we've talked to, like you, something you work so hard at and think it's so cool. And once you kind of get there where it's your full-time job, you're kind of like, whoa.
YouTubers are a funny group because for the most part, and it's changing as social media becomes more of a job that people are growing up knowing about. But the old school people, like one generation before us and kind of a little bit us, but I think we knew more about it to get into it than the generation of YouTubers before us. It's like it just happened to them accidentally.
Uh-huh.
And then they tried to make this job out of this weird thing that happened to them. Like by mistake, they grew an audience.
Yeah.
So it's really funny to talk to them and to get to know them. Like no one's from like an elite school or anything. No one like studied for this.
There's no school. Yeah.
Like people just like accidentally fell into this lake that was YouTube or social media or Instagram.
Did Shay Carl like set out? Why did Shay Carl start? Wasn't he the first big family vlogger?
Yeah. I don't know his story, but I know like other people's story.
He does a podcast. We should try to get him on our podcast.
Yeah. Like other people just made a video because I think like Ellie and Jared wanted, I think it started as like Ellie teaching how to do hair or something. And
she's like a makeup genius too.
Yeah. And then they had an audience. I don't know this for sure. I've watched them for a while. And this is kind of what I've heard. And they were having a hard time having a baby. So they just kind of wanted to share little pieces of that with their following. And then it just grew and grew and grew. And they grew more and more connected to these people who were watching them. And then suddenly they're just this amazing family vlog that's on top of YouTube.
Yeah, Ellie and Jared are so nice.
And we're finally getting to know some of these people and hearing their story. And it's ridiculous how similar our story is to theirs. So we just wanted to share our story. And the greatest video on the
entire internet. I just pulled up their YouTube channel. And it's right. Yeah, their URL for their Ellie and Jared YouTube channel is still youtube.com/style by Ellie. That's how they got started.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, I don't want to say anything for certain, but just from watching them, that's kind of what I've gleaned. They started out just doing little things and then they started.
A few others did that too. Cute Girls Hairstyles, right?
Yeah. And then they started sharing about how, like, their struggles conceiving a child. And then And then it was raising and those children. And now it's their family.
And dog. And they're like so fun to watch.
And they have a YouTube family of 1.6 million people. And it's just nuts.
That's so, so cool to see. And yeah, so today in this podcast, we wanted to just share a little bit about our story and how this happened to us and our goals and why we did this and how we started and where we are today and what our goals are like a year and 5 years from now. And we thought it'd be fun to talk about with you and with each other because I always love talking about these things with Ashley.
My yoga studio is a temple to flexibility, and so is my business. Thanks to my Amex Business Gold Card, it automatically flexes with my monthly spending, so I can get extra points on purchases like my Metro Card and my new stereo system. Check it out. Let's stretch those bods.
Earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories each month with an Amex Business Gold Card. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-gold. Built for business by American Express.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Yeah, so I'm gonna skip the whole like dating and courtship and marriage story. Those are all over our YouTube and Facebook videos. Like, you can find those if you want them. And just get into Dallin and Ashley love each other so much, and we get married, and we discover that to support ourselves, we have to work a ton. Like,
I mean,
like,
that's
paying
what,
for
all you learn in school is that you go to school, go to college, get a job, and make sure it's a stable job with good benefits and work until you retire.
I just feel like when we were dating, like, we didn't have goals like save for retirement or build up our emergency fund or pay off our student debt. Like, we didn't have those goals. It was just, let's go on as many dates as we can and have as much fun as we can and see each other as much as we want. And if we miss school or skip out on work, who cares? Because we're just dating and having so much fun.
Does this just mean that we're not responsible people?
No, because we are. We got married and suddenly we were like, okay, let's build an emergency fund. Let's pay off our car. Let's try and pay for college with cash instead of taking out loans. And
we did that for them. Well, we took out one $5,000 loan for me.
Yeah.
And you had a loan for your master's.
Well, then
master's.
We crashed our car and that paid for your next semester. On accident. We crashed it on accident.
Oh, and that's how we went from 2 cars to 1 car instead of buying another second car.
We've never gone back. Yeah, we used the insurance money to pay for your college.
Uh-huh.
Blessing
in disguise.
So Dallin was in college. I was done. I was teaching. So I would be teaching. Dallin would be at college. We were at the University of Utah, which was kind of pricey for us.
Very.
And then Dallin would work after school. So we saw each other like after, I think I would pick you up at 7. I would walk to the bank and pick you up.
I worked at America First Credit Union, baby. I was
in
a teller.
In the Dan's grocery store.
Uh-huh.
In Salt Lake City.
It was like right down from the student housing at the University of Utah. And I would walk down there, go to work.
Dallin would always call me if I was done with school and be like, Ashley, they just put the new sushi samples out. Get down here.
Yeah. They've got bread samples.
That
it's sourdough.
Was back when we had a Costco card because we felt like we were justified in paying $50 a year. Is that what it is?
Uh-huh.
Because it would pay for our lunch every day that we went if we strategically went on sample times.
Went and got samples. Yeah. Yeah. That was basically paying for our lunch. You're right. We were very poor. I mean, I was very lucky to be married to you for many reasons. One of them, because you were my sugar mama and you were a full-time kindergarten teacher, which was like helping us, you know, still live okay while I was going to college.
But I feel like our Costco card was the beginning of something for us, where if we were going to spend money on something nice, aka Costco, then we wanted to make it pay for itself.
Right.
So Costco was our first time where we did that. I just thought of that, where we were felt okay, justified in buying a Costco membership when we seriously couldn't afford one because we could milk it and pay for our lunches / dinners for the whole year.
Not to mention travel, tires, food court.
Gas.
Ask us more if you want to know also, how the Costco membership pays for itself. Night.
Like, we would go there and just walk around.
Seriously, yeah.
Because we didn't have any chairs.
You don't go to Costco.
So we would go and sit in the chairs there.
I saw a meme that says, you don't go to Costco to buy what you need. You go to Costco for them to tell you what you need to buy.
Exactly. But we just wouldn't buy anything.
We would force ourselves to leave our wallet in the car or walk around without a car. And we would just go on dates to Costco
and get samples and sit in the chairs.
And then we would go back out to our car and get my wallet and a cart and end up leaving with like $300 worth of stuff.
Not always. We were good.
Just sometimes. But yeah, so I guess that started a trend of us wanting to like make sure that like what we bought was
we wanted was nice able things, to... but we didn't want to pay for them.
Right.
Which
who doesn't?
It is a whole new trend in our life.
So anyways,
right now.
Ashley and I've always been into video and photo, and I made like videos in high school for the school with my friends, all
but
that stuff.
But nothing professional.
Nothing professional.
When we got married.
What made us want to get our first like
DSLR
camera?
We just wanted to take
camera?
Nice pictures.
Yeah.
Like, we just wanted, that was something I always wanted, was to like have a nice camera. I like my family had grown up with cameras, but I'd always seen people with the nice like DSLR cameras.
I was always so intrigued as well. Like at my brother's wedding, he hired Nathan Pickett. One of the very, very highly skilled wedding videographers here in Utah. And I was just watching that guy the whole time. I mean, I was hanging out too, but I would always look over and
besides
like see what
eating.
He's doing and eating. Loved the food. Of course. Yeah. And it's just something that's always like been super intriguing to me. And I loved watching the video that he made the same day. I was like, how did this guy put together this amazing video in the same day? And now I'm watching
of
it on
the
screen.
Wedding.
I went and sat next to it and just watched it over and over at Kylan's reception
right.
while eating food.
There he is. So we wanted to be able to take nice pictures of our family, which was a trend of documenting our family and having nice camera gear, I guess. Like we wanted to document our life for ourselves.
For ourselves. And yeah, I obviously finally wanted to like own a nice camera of my own. So we bought a Canon T5i.
Which is a nice camera, but turns out it's not the nicest.
It's an entry level
nicer
camera.
No, it opened this door where we thought we were getting the nicest thing out there. And then suddenly there were like 70,000 tiers.
Turns out it's like this beginner level DSLR. I mean, there's like little point and shoots. And then there's ones with detachable lenses, you know. And that's like the entry level one where you can interchange lenses. And it's a
right.
DSLR. And so
and we learned
it's like $500.
When buying a camera, it's not necessarily the DSLR camera that makes the difference. It's the lenses.
Yes. So we bought
and
a 50 millimeter.
So many options.
Tons of lenses. We bought there was like the kit lens, and then we bought a 50 millimeter 1.8 little $100 prime lens. And we discovered that thing, if you can focus it right, takes like amazing photos with a nice blurry background and everything. And we started to get intrigued.
So we started taking pictures and we realized that the pictures weren't looking a ton different than normal pictures. So we started, like we invested in a course on lynda.com.
Yeah.
Lynda.
Yeah, I started paying for that and I watched so many courses
Dylan
on
watched
there.
It for hours.
I would just, yeah, after I was done with my school, I would watch like photo editing
because
courses,
at that
photography
point,
courses, composition, lighting, working with a flash, video. I started watching the video courses, like learning all the different techniques about exposure, about aperture.
Those cameras are
complicated. Shutter speed, ISO, all those things.
And that's where your pictures start to change.
And when you start to like compose it right and have a focus point and have a lens where the background can get blurry.
And we were so dedicated
and the foreground.
To this class, mostly Dallin. I watched it too, but it just wasn't my jam.
Ashley liked me to watch it and then give her the gist of it.
Exactly.
That's basically how we rolled there
that's
as far as learning
and like
goes.
You, that's how you roll with like kid products. Like, what? I pick out the car seat and then give you the gist. Or I watch Pretty the much. Installation video and give you the
and
gist.
And up to this point, we've tried that with parenting and that hasn't worked. So we are both learning and studying that because that's not something that you can just get the gist about.
Right. Well, I wasn't talking. Yes.
Epiphany.
I wasn't going there.
That's the method that we've been using with parenting. Don't try that with parenting, okay? Be all in on parenting, both of you. That's a lesson that I just recently have got on board with. Okay.
But we bought this course. It doesn't cost that much. Like, it was a membership, like a Netflix membership almost.
Linda's only like, what, 15, 20? I don't know. They got bought by Microsoft and might be more expensive now. I don't know.
Because like the day after we bought our camera, I just feel like I look back on us and I'm just almost embarrassed that we did this. We put an ad in the newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
On which KSL made it appear that maybe. We were like professional photographers.
We didn't lie. We put up our own photos. We had taken like photos of family and cousins, which led to so many
and then anxiety filled jobs where we were pretending how to know how to do things.
Our first job, I mean, we had put up photos that we actually took of like my friends.
They were real photos.
And they were nice. Like we understood basics.
They weren't great.
It definitely wasn't like professional quality.
We
yet.
Also wrote in the description that we were wedding photographers.
We said that we are wedding photographers. We didn't say like.
I mean, but what makes you a wedding photographer besides having a camera?
There's no qualifications
you
required.
You had done one wedding.
Anybody can declare themselves a wedding. That's why like reviews are so important and looking at a lot of their work. Now I say that 8 years into it.
Right.
Where prices are much higher than they were when we started out.
It's
but we
hard,
got contacted.
When we compete with for a bride, like for a wedding, when we compete with other people.
Now that we're like actual professionals.
Like we're sitting there on the phone with a bride dissing all the people starting out who are us.
We were just there, 8 years
ago. But you know what? They're charging a lot less. So they have an upper hand, I feel like.
It's it's a huge thing right now, especially in Utah. So many people declare themselves like professional videographers like us. Once you buy a DSLR. And I mean, anybody can go online and learn. And it's a very hard market to make a name in for yourself. I mean, it took us three years to start making a profit.
Steady flow.
Like after 3 years, we started making a profit. Because all the other money that we made, we just kept buying all the gear that I needed, and then I got better camera, better lens, better camera, better lens, and then another camera.
And just like for the record, there were times when people offered, like family members offered, to spot us money to buy the next gear that we wanted, and we were. It was like for me, it was a hard no. I just wanted to like grow organically. And as slow as we needed to grow so that we didn't go into any debt.
Uh-huh. And
which
so,
I think was a great choice for us.
Yeah. So we did little jobs, like some financial advisor firm hired us to go take headshots.
And we brought paper as
of
the
their
background.
Staff. And we were like, oh, yeah, we can
do
that.
Yeah, sure. We know how to
and
do headshots.
And so I studied up on headshots, studied up about posing, lighting, direction. We bought like a reflector.
Didn't know how to use that one.
And I showed up and I did. And we took solid pictures of them. We said that we could do it, kind of like a little Grant Cardone approach here. We said that we could do it, and then we learned everything we needed to and went and then did awesome, and they loved the photos.
Do you remember when we, was it $1,000?
What?
We booked a $1,000 wedding.
Our first $1,000 wedding?
There
oh
was
my
this
gosh.
An Indian couple.
Definitely undercharged for
it was
that.
A, like,
it was
a cultural,
two-day
like, culturally,
event.
What do you call it? Like a Indian?
It was a traditional Indian
traditional
wedding.
Traditional Indian wedding.
Yeah. Down at the Hare Krishna temple.
That's real.
In
they do the color
in Payson,
throw
Utah.
There. Yeah. And we were thought we were getting so much money.
I was like, oh my gosh, our first $1,000 wedding. This is crazy,
like,
Ash. It's happening.
Put it on the spreadsheets. Maybe we'll be in the green.
Ashley's like, have we paid off all of our gear yet? And so, of course, we probably went and bought another camera. I don't know. Did
no,
we?
I don't know. Anyways, it was a two-day wedding. Like, we were filming for 48 hours.
Gosh. No, we did photos that day.
Oh,
they hired
photos.
A videographer.
Took so many pictures.
So many pictures. But it was cool. It was our first $1,000 event. And then he wanted me to stay for extra hours on the second night. And so I told him it would cost
more. What was your
more.
Hourly rate then?
What I told it was like, I think I told
bucks?
Him $100 per hour. He wanted me to stay two more hours. So there, we made $1,200 on that wedding.
We thought we had died of happiness.
Gosh. Yeah, that was,
like the
we
most
hit the big
money.
Times.
It's just funny because now when like we get $1,000, people who are like, that's my budget. And we're like, nope.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, like it's, we know our value. We know the market. Like, Yeah.
Just anyways. Time.
But yeah, when we were just starting out, we thought 1,000 was
that's
so
what
much.
Happens when you start out. Like you have
to
sweat
do,
equity.
You have to do what you need to do to get a portfolio to show people that you're good.
Uh-huh.
So you got to do the first few for free or for really cheap. And we basically got these leads from paying for an ad on KSL. I did a lot of SEO work on our little Squarespace website and tried to work our way to the front page of Google. Now, when you type in Utah wedding videographer, I show up like first on the maps and one of the first ones in the results as Ashley Dallin Films. High five.
It's sweet.
Learned that on an SEO course on lynda.com as well and Pluralsight.
It's kind of sad though, because we turned down a lot now because we just don't have time to do all of them.
I know. It's like, I seriously have like 40 inquiries in my inbox that I haven't responded to.
Which is fine. A lot of people do that. Like when you kind of get to a point where you can make a little bit more per wedding, you stop doing as many weddings, yeah. Which is a fine thing. Like it's not mean.
Well,
to
and we
turn
have all these
down.
Other things that we're trying to work on right now, and weddings aren't our end game. And making our own videos and
well,
podcasts.
Well, they were. And then
they used to be, yeah.
Yeah, so weddings were
our
endgame.
Are we getting ahead of ourselves?
Yeah, that was our goal. Like our goal, we started weddings initially to just pay off our camera.
Yeah.
But and then that happened. And
well, also after our first wedding, which we charged $300 for.
That was a steal.
That was such a steal.
Two photographers
all day for $300. Oh my gosh. But
and their pictures were pretty.
Oh,
I still think they were pretty.
We did really good. I mean, we told them we would do it, and then we learned a ton. We studied poses. We like learned photo editing, got some presets to edit the photos, and we did a solid job for $300. And
and they tipped us. They liked us.
They did tip us. Yeah. So it ended up being $350, and we went to dinner that night after the reception. That was fun. And then I realized, holy cow, this is really fun, and we're good at it.
So at that point, we realized like the dollar signs came into our eyeballs, like one of those moments that we could make actual money from this and not just pay off our camera. Cause our initial end game was just to pay off our camera and then quit and just take pictures of our family. So we kept the ad on KSL. We got an ad on Wedding Wire and we started getting weddings rolling in pretty consistently. And we started making like good money. We paid for Dallin's entire college with wedding money. We never went into debt. Like we paid our first car off, I'm pretty sure, with wedding. No, not with wedding money.
No.
Oh, not with wedding money, but we did do college.
Are you talking about the CRV?
I don't know. There were so many cars.
We bought so many stupid cars. No, the first car we paid off was our Forester. So like our third car we paid off with wedding money.
Okay, that's what I meant, I guess.
Yeah.
So at that point, our
5 years later, by the way.
Yeah, 5 years later, our goal is just to do weddings. And that was our goal. Eventually, Dallin would quit his job. And we would have our own business, be self-sufficient, and be like kick-A wedding videographers. We had kids, and it didn't work great with our life.
No, definitely not. As like, we had George, and I was still doing weddings on the weekends and some weekday
Suddenly,
nights.
Like the super fun thing where Dallin and I could do it together and hang out together all day and be creative and make something together. I stayed home, and Dallin would go. And it was like, it's long days.
Uh-huh.
And it just wasn't working. But we were still like, we can do this. Maybe one day we'll hire a second shooter. Our kids will be older one day. Let's keep going and like power through the sucky time.
Which leads us into last year, my busiest year ever of
no,
weddings.
You're missing a part.
Oh,
which
what?
Led us to starting, trying to become more competitive
so that
he
could
quit
more.
His job. Which,
oh, so that I wasn't gone all day during the weekdays and then all day during the weekends.
And
during,
all evenings.
Yeah.
Because you were doing pre-shoots and everything after work.
Uh-huh.
So our goal became for Dallin to quit his job. So we wanted to be more competitive. And the way to be more competitive is to somehow entice these people who you have never met to like you more than someone who has been doing wedding videos longer than us. we were still yeah. like a new name. So It was our great goal to somehow like endear ourselves to these brides who were inquiring with us, but we were losing them all to the same group of three like seasoned wedding videographer veterans.
Yeah. And so our angle was like, you want us to be there because we're good, but also we're like really friendly, gonna
and
be fun people to have at your wedding
young.
Because it's a really personable job. Like, you're in there as they're getting ready with their best friends and their closest family. Like, you're in the room with them.
So if we wanted to, like,
you got to get them feeling comfortable with you, even if your work isn't quite as good as the pros in Utah. We wanted them to feel like they could trust us and that they liked us.
Right. Because we were already less money than the three pros, and we were almost to their quality of greatness, but we just didn't have the legacy that
we hit a plateau. I feel like, you know, kind of like the middle level.
Yeah.
And we wanted to jump to the high end level, where we could charge more and just have a lot more incoming, you know, inquiries for our work.
So like many millennials, we turned to social media.
Yeah. So we wanted people to be able to get to know us better. So we started making little videos about us, what's up,
our family,
guys?
Just about us. That when they went to our wedding page, they could get to know us.
And then be like, so we had on our about us section of AshleyDallinFilms.com, check out our YouTube channel to learn more about us personally.
And we just wanted them to realize how fun and chill and cool we are, and how seamlessly we would fit into their wedding picture.
Basically, we'd be like another family member at their wedding.
Uh-huh.
Or a friend.
And that's when we started vlogging.
And so we just made
videos. The first videos are just kind of musical compilation videos.
Because that's what we were used to making, wedding highlight films. We would kind of talk, and a lot more of the clips were muted, put to music, just because that's how wedding videos
They're
are.
They're super cute. I almost like them better. Just because it's really cute. Curated.
Yeah.
And I like that look. And we did it with all the professional gear, which is not ideal.
I was
carrying around this
I was carrying around this big DSLR with my 16-35 2.8 lens. It's a $1,600 lens.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really heavy. That was
with carrying around $7,000 to a water park.
But still, that's a lot of money.
Well, with the new one, I mean, how much?
Well, yeah, we're not vlogging with our new stuff.
Yeah, no, but if we wanted to keep vlogging that style and that quality, you have to bring the nice gear. And if you have ever vlogged, you know that cameras get dropped hundreds of times.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just painful.
It's a miracle that our current camera, Sony A6500, still works. That thing is solid.
Yeah.
It's fallen off the counter. It's fallen off TV stands.
It's just fallen
George
so
and
many
James
times.
Are always whacking it.
Uh-huh.
Weather.
Terrible. So our goal at this point was just to grow our wedding business. But as we started vlogging, we kind of started to meet people who were also vlogging, or people who knew big people, big vloggers.
And we met a big...
Found out that we were vlogging, and they would introduce us to these big people. And that's when we started realizing...
We were like, wait a minute.
What it could become.
Like, let's see. We love making videos. Weddings can be pretty stressful.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I love most about weddings is making creative, fun videos. I mean, I love providing this solid, this amazing video that these people are going to treasure for the rest of their lives. That's really fulfilling to me.
But love
also
making videos of ourselves more.
Being a wedding videographer or photographer is a highly stressful job. Schedules are always changing.
It's just once in a lifetime
moments. Things are running
moments.
Late. All these once in a lifetime moments only happening once that you have to capture, or else the bride is lost that moment forever. That happening over a span of 8 hours is really stressful.
Yeah.
So I was like, whoa. We were talking to Steve Yeager of the Shot of the Yeagers, one of our friends. So awesome. And
he was the one who looked at us and was like, you guys could do this.
He's like, you guys have all the skills. You're fun.
Or he was the one who, he was like, yeah, I was able to quit my job and you could too.
He kind of just helped us see the light. Like, wow, this can actually be a career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had never, we knew about YouTubers, but we still didn't quite get it. Like, how do these people make money? I don't get it.
We walked out of that lunch meeting just with our jaws on the ground.
We were like, oh my gosh. He kind of hinted at how much money he was making. Like, he has millions of followers. And we were like, holy cow. Like,
at that point, we were just like,
that's his full-time job.
I know. We just wanted to be able to buy fruit and not feel
like... We wanted
to
pay for our mortgage, you know?
Yeah. And
buy our
nice fruit. That was my goal. I just wanted to buy nice fruit.
From Costco.
And not feel like I was splurging or breaking our budget.
Yeah. So we started looking a lot more into this. We went to we went to Vid Summit. Well, we didn't go, but we bought the replays. Vid Summit is like this YouTuber conference that happens every year, put on by Daryl Eves. We dove in, we learned, we looked at Daryl Eves videos, we watched Casey Neistat videos.
We just tried to
not
like we tried to copy anyone. We knew what we wanted to do with our videos, but there's just like a way to package them for YouTube, for it to work better on YouTube. Like, we didn't know what a thumbnail was. We didn't know if it, like, we didn't understand like that titles matter.
Well, we didn't really understand the art of storytelling. Like, we're never fake. We're not just like acting. We're still capturing our lives, but we just kind of put the video together in a story form because it's
like
funner to
photos.
Watch.
Like, we like taking photos, but we had to learn about composition and lighting and with vlogs, like to like share the story you're wanting to share, if like for people to watch it and be and think it was something that had worth, then you have to have a story, you have to have a beginning, a middle, an end, you have to have audio, and
like, it just makes it funner to watch. A lot of people I'm sure would watch if it wasn't like a well-told story, but I mean it's just funner to watch. Like with Moana, for example, you know
what happens. We watch Moana and we're like, this is just...
We're just like, they are just genius storytellers. You learn at the very beginning that there's a problem, something's happening, and everybody on this island is going to die if this isn't fixed, if the heart isn't returned.
But like, it has all the moments,
and
it's just
Moana
seamlessly woven.
And so Moana becomes the hero, and she has like this mentor to help her out throughout the whole... And anyways, it's... And you know what needs to happen and the consequences if it doesn't happen. And you're led through this whole adventure.
The story of Moana could be a 7-hour story with like terrible shots, and it would be the same story as the Disney story of Moana. They just have perfect shots seamlessly woven together to perfectly and concisely tell this story.
It's simplified and intensified is what it is. That is like the theme that Ashley and I keep going
back
to.
Which is kind of the theme of our life.
When we film and
simplify
edit.
Your dreams and intensify your efforts.
Yeah.
And just...
We try to simplify and intensify everything, basically.
Keep it moving.
So like now we just kind of have that in mind as we're filming, because we don't want to, we don't always have a camera rolling. Like, we still have precious like family moments where the camera isn't rolling, and we film some things too and tell stories. But we wanted our vlog to be, you know, we love storytelling. We love making videos that are fun for us and other people to watch.
And our vlog kind of started out without a purpose.
Yeah. It was just kind of us putting like clips together. It was little things like we'd go on a bike ride or go on a hike or.
But like our purpose was just to record.
To record something. And make some fun my family.
As we've home kept
videos.
Going, vlogging is really a long game. Like, it's a long, long game. Uh-huh. And you need a purpose.
And we've evolved
to keep wanting to pick up a camera instead of just living every moment in the moment.
Uh-huh.
Like, you need a purpose. And we just, as we've grown and as people have reached out to us, the things we've heard them say that's what's given us our purpose. Like, we've had so many people write us letters. And not in like a braggy way, but they've said just the most touching things of how just watching our little family has like encouraged them to break a chain, like to break a chain of dysfunction, and to try with when they have a family to try and like be happy, have a happy family, or create a family that they never had.
Like so many people that struggle with anxiety and depression just write us and say that they feel happy when they watch our videos,
or just
or
they
feel lighter.
Loved. And I get that. Like when I went to college, like far away from home, I remember I would like try and find shows that helped me feel at home. So when I was alone and sad, I could watch them and just not feel alone.
Yeah.
And for me to be able to give that back to somebody is just precious.
And I never even realized that we were doing this for so many people. But until we just keep getting these messages, I'm like, holy cow, like we're able to be an influence for good by just kind of being ourselves on camera and sharing our lives and our experiences and our highs and our lows with other people. And we are fulfilled by like our desire to make fun videos and the art of storytelling and to craft like story-driven videos. And also, it's so meaningful to know that these videos are helping people throughout the world to just feel love, to smile, to just brighten up their day a little bit. That just makes me so happy.
By watching our issues, to know that they're not the only one experiencing problems with a marriage or struggles with children and parenting and all of these things that we felt like we're not watching a vlog. I mean, we watch some, but like we felt alone in so many of these struggles that we had. And then when we got brave enough to kind of share a second of that,
to be more vulnerable on our vlog and our podcast,
that's when we would hear from so many people, just like
so many of you guys saying like, thank you so much.
Like, we're going through this and we didn't know what to say or do. And just knowing that we're going through that encouraged them.
Because like they knew that they weren't alone. And that, it made me realize that we weren't alone too. And it's, so you guys have helped us just as much as you say that we've helped you. And so like, we're so grateful for you and we love doing this. And we're not professionals. We're not like geniuses. We just share what we're doing. Like, we're sharing our journey with you.
But suddenly we have this profession with a purpose that we like 100% are behind and just like are like is so in our hearts, like sharing like our family is sharing what love looks like and what for us, like I know it's different for everyone.
One thing that so many people say is like they appreciate how real we are, and makes me so glad to hear, because we've always said we don't want to put up a front or act like we're perfect. We want to be real. We want to share the struggles.
Yeah, TV's and things gross that, these days with how fake it is. Ugh,
bugs me. And even social media. Just like you get on Instagram and you can just feel so depressed about your life scrolling through like the search
tab. I can't even describe to you how many emails I get on I'll film a vlog where I don't wear makeup. Hashtag every vlog. Just because I never, like, I put on makeup to go somewhere, but I feel like the majority of moms are not putting on a full face of makeup every day.
Yeah, or even doing your hair.
Which is, like the Ashley braid, I mean, I'm almost like embarrassed because the Ashley braid is just, hey, I didn't brush my hair today and I think this braid looks good.
Yeah.
Or like looks, like it's the lazy braid. You guys all call it the Ashley braid, but it's just the lazy braid. It's my kids pull my hair while I nurse, so I braid it this way.
And so many people latch onto that because you're real and people love you so much. And I try to be that too. I'm not as good at expressing my emotions and true feelings as you. I'm getting better at it, I like to believe. But I feel like our last podcast where we talked about the one titled You Mad Bro, I feel like that one I was more vulnerable than I have been in a while. Mm-hmm. And people wrote out to me and told me like, thank you for that, and which I appreciated and made me feel good. I'm working on being more vulnerable and honest about my emotions and feelings. And
It's weird. Like the more I record and put out myself in these things that would normally embarrass me, like my hair isn't done or my makeup isn't on or I have like food all over my clothing, the more positive, I mean, like there's haters, but like so many positive affirmations. And like now when I look in the mirror, the voice in my head that used to be like, oh, you're not that cute, like it's quieter than it ever was. And like the voice, like the embarrassment, like feeling like a schmuck when I go outside, like I don't feel that way anymore. Like I'm just like prouder and bolder, and like I just don't care what haters say anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a braver person because of my vlog, and I'm just so much more comfortable to be myself.
You definitely are. And I admire
and then like
it.
Not saying like makeup is bad or anything, like none of that is bad. It's just like that was never something I was passionate about or wanted to do just because of me. I'm just me that I never. But I always felt like I had to do that. And now I don't. Like, I'm just like I'm just cool with what I like. And I just do what I like now.
You and Billie Eilish.
Me and Billie. I'm so scared of her.
Yeah. No, I admire that. And it's something that Ashley's always had a strength she's better at it now than ever. But you've always not cared as much about what other people think about
no,
you.
No, but I have. Like, my whole life.
It just seems like I've grew up thinking or worrying a lot more about what other people were thinking about
me. No, I used to
be
crippled by it. Like I would cry in shoe stores.
Well, you just made
because
so much
I wouldn't
progress
know,
at that then.
Like as a kid, like I would break down because I couldn't make a decision because I wanted to decide on what people would like the best.
Yeah. No, way too many of my decisions growing up and even in my 20s were like, what will my family or friends think about me if I do this?
If you're a shy person, like vlogging your life is like jumping into the pool instead of putting a toe in.
Yeah.
And you're just able to swim way faster.
It's also like a dichotomy because you're talking to people, but you're not because you're just talking to a camera.
It's so easier like than
Ashley,
real life.
I have witnessed her come out of her shell, but if she was talking to actually the number of people that watch her videos, it would be pretty different. Don't you think?
Yeah. And it's like a social experiment, like things we never would have thought people would love so much about us. Like the things people love so much about us are the things we like have spent years trying to hide. Like
for real?
The fact that I wear socks with Birkenstocks.
Yeah.
I used to think that was the most like hick thing to do. Like redneck. I grew up in Georgia.
Yeah.
Like just like country.
And so many, post a video of you,
but I loved doing it
in your socks and your Birkenstocks, so many of you guys write us and say, oh, me too. And then you guys take pictures of your feet and send them to us.
Now I'm just like, you know what? Dallin will be like, how should I do my hair? Or like, what do you think of these pants? And I'll just be, like, my answer is always just do whatever makes you the most happy. Wear whatever you like.
And I'm just
cut your hair the way you want it cut.
Thank you, Ash. I will.
Like, you shouldn't care what I think. Like, I like you. I like your stuff.
Well,
but
I appreciate that's all. It's just me appreciating your input.
I like your hair this way, but it's more important for you to do how you like it.
I just appreciate your style input.
But I feel like I always follow it up with, but that's just me. Like, my opinion doesn't matter. Like,
yeah, you do.
Do what you want to do.
Yeah. So I have also stopped worrying so much about what other people will think of me or what I think others are thinking or will think, and just like, just be Dallin. And it's just so freeing to me to just like do what Dallin wants. Be Dallin.
I feel like
be the best Dallin that you can be. And it's just very a freeing feeling. And the more Dallin that I be and the more Ashley that you be, the more Dallin that I am and the more Ashley that you are.
Well, that's the thing.
The more you guys like resonate with it and respond to it. And it's just the opposite of how so many people think they should be on Instagram. I mean, you watch these documentaries about high schoolers, if they don't get a certain number of likes within like the first 10 minutes, then they just delete their picture because it must not have been good enough. And they feel like people make fun of them for it. And like Instagram is thinking about even removing the number of likes a photo has because of huge problem
like,
that it's become.
Look at Billie Eilish. Like, I feel like her social media strategy or her music strategy / appearance strategy is just to do the exact opposite of what is on trend.
Yeah.
She was on Ellen yesterday
wearing
Chinese pajamas with blue hair and nails. But like now people are looking at her and saying, maybe that's
trend. I don't have to put on this front.
But I think that's her.
I don't have to be perfect.
That's her shtick. Like she does things.
And that's why so many people are resonating with her.
In. Right.
That's why so many people are resonating with her. She's literally always
like
on the
only girl
list
out there who actually looks comfortable.
And
everyone likes to be
people
comfortable.
People are sick of the fakeness on the internet and social media and on TV. Like less and less money is getting put into traditional TV ads all the time. And more are getting put into the YouTuber, like Instagram market of people that like are trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the new way to
look at The Bachelorette. Hannah B is the most real girl that they've ever chosen.
For real.
Like she is just a real girl. Like not that the other ones weren't, but she's not like,
she's not putting up a,
putting up any fronts, and she's not like trying to be anyone who she's not. And she's not.
The Bachelor has even done vlogging. They've started to incorporate like giving the people their own cameras and go in and talking. They've started to do that.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about like marketing dollars being pushed to like influencers and YouTubers is that if they're actually good YouTubers and influencers, they won't take those marketing dollars unless it's something that they truly think is a good product. And so I guess be careful who you're following. And like our commitment to you guys, like what we've always said, is that we're never going to promote a product that we wouldn't naturally buy or promote anyways, even if we weren't getting paid for it. Uh-huh. And so it's like a win-win-win all around, because like you have, like people that follow us are naturally interested in things. Like Ashley went and bought cups and plates from Target. so many people in the Dashly Club slit. Like, we're posting pictures of their new cups and plates.
They're good.
And we didn't even get paid from Target to do that. But, like, we just honestly love those things. So we get companies all the time, like, will you please promote this Amazon product?
What was the last thing someone asked you to promote?
Like,
oh, the male hair one?
Male grooming kit. And they said they were going to give us, like, thousands of dollars. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not promoting a male grooming kit.
I told them to. I was pro-grooming kit naturally, video.
Ashley wanted me to. I'm like, I am not going to talk about
how been hilarious.
I groom myself.
Your brothers would have died.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so.
It wasn't for your hair on your
head.
There's
other awesome
YouTube. Just for the record. Right. It wasn't for head hair.
Nope. So, like, and there's other awesome YouTubers that are in the same boat, like Dan Markham of What's Inside. He told a similar story. Like, there was this company, we wanted to pay him $30,000. I mean, he has millions of subscribers, and they wanted to pay him so much money to promote something that wasn't really in line with their brand or what they felt, who they were or their integrity. And they turned it down. Just like, yeah, I'm not posting that for 30 grand. And it's just really cool.
Whatever his was probably a harder choice than the personal male grooming kit.
For real. 30 grand's a lot of money.
How would we even video that?
Right. That's exactly.
The whole video would just be me laughing and your voice in the background being like, oh.
Ow.
Oh, okay.
This is nice. If any of you are creators who have promoted this product, more power to you. It just wouldn't really fit on our vlog.
Didn't understand how we would do that.
Maybe we didn't put enough thought into this.
Is it just
maybe
a picture a really of me funny like video. Holding Dallin's hand and being like, our lives are so much better because of this.
Yeah. No, so like we're working with Shipt. We love Shipt. We work with Costco. We love Costco. We work with HelloFresh. We love HelloFresh. Like all the companies that we partner with to promote things are all things that we love. And that's the coolest way.
Kids Bop. I used to love that as a kid.
Yeah, Kids Bop. Yeah. So it's really the world and the marketing world is being forced by good old capitalism to get more authentic and real, and less money is going to traditional TV. And I think it's awesome.
Yeah. So our challenge to you guys is just if you feel like you're hiding any part of yourself, like I think social media is a wonderful thing. And the bad side of it is
it can be like the best thing or the worst thing.
People put up a front. Even if it's a little front, they put up a front. So if you feel like you're putting up a front, like maybe just be authentic for a week on social media.
Just try it. Do a little social experiment just for 1 week. Like take off the face filter, making your skin perfectly smooth, you know?
Like don't wait to brush your hair. If you have something to say, like say it and don't wait. Or like if you take a picture of a wonderful moment that you love, but you are like, oh my gosh, I think I might have a double chin in that picture. Or, it's not my best angle. Just post it.
Because
like, it's about
so
the moment.
Because so many of your followers.
Or friends. Or family.
Everybody has followers. Yeah. That's what I meant. Family and friends who are following you on social media. They're like, she posted that. I can post one of my double chin photos that I've been wanting
all
to post.
All I'm saying is it's okay to look like a normal human.
Yeah. And because it instantly makes anybody who follows you, big number or small number, feel more comfortable. Whatever your circle of influence is, if you are more real on social media, you affect those people and make them feel better about themselves and stop stressing so much about what other people think because of your example. Basically, don't, like, this is all Gary Vaynerchuk says. He's a big thought leader in social media space. He's like, people worry so much and are crippled by what their parents will think about them if they do something, or what their sibling will think about them, or their friends will say about them if they do something,
or their ex
or their
frenemy,
whatever. And it's like, but that is the thing that's really going to make them happy if they do that thing. And they're holding themselves back because of what others will think of them if they do that. And that's like, and he's always like, that is the saddest thing. And so like our challenge to you is to go and do that thing that you would do if nobody would. If you didn't care about what other people think, or if your family was no longer here,
every celebrity, like that's what they did.
They basically did that.
Put themselves out there and they were themselves.
Celebrity, any actor, for example, probably went against their parents' advice.
They put themselves up for judgment
of going to college and becoming, you know, whatever. And they like went out and lived poor for a while trying to make it as an actor. I'm sure a lot of them had really supportive parents too.
But all of
and our parents are very supportive. Let me just throw that out
there. As a culture, we idolize celebrities. But all a celebrity, they wear a lot of makeup but they are just following their truth and they're putting it out there. And more celebrities are being more and more real than ever before.
Mm-hmm. Like J-Lo just started a YouTube channel.
Yeah, but Taylor Swift and Ariana Grande, Taylor Swift makes fun of herself all day for being a cat lady.
Yeah. And everybody loves her for that.
People love it because most people are cat ladies. Yeah,
and they've just been hiding it because they don't want to be weird or seem weird. But in reality, everybody is their own kind of weird. And you just got to stop hiding it because people are grateful when you show your weird because it makes them feel more comfortable to show their weird.
You think
you're that from J.P. Sears.
Nice. But you think you're the only one out there like you. Like the only one out there with this problem or the only one out there with this talent or the only one out there with this interest that you think is so weird or different, but you're not. There is a whole niche of people out there.
People will resonate with your realness.
Uh-huh.
Because they will.
They're hiding the same thing about themselves that you're hiding about yourself.
Uh-huh. And when you share that thing, that will make them feel better about themselves.
And it'll make you happy. Feel better
about
yourself.
And it'll make you feel better about yourself.
Because suddenly you're not hiding.
Suddenly you're more self-accepting and suddenly you have more self-confidence and suddenly you don't care as much about what other people think. And suddenly you're just I'm going to live my life today and be the best Dallin that I can be. Be the best Ashley that I can be. Be the best whoever.
And we're not perfect at this, but it has changed our lives. Just being okay with who we are and not being, and just being bold and brave. Mm-hmm. Not just on social media, outside of that.
Yeah.
100%.
I'm more real with my relationships. It's just super healthy. It's been really healthy for us to not try to put up a front, but just be real and share our realness.
Mm-hmm.
This turned into more of a motivational thing than I thought it would.
It did.
But hopefully you got something from this.
Hey, it didn't turn into us talking about how hard parenthood is.
There we go.
Which is a gold star for us. Something different
for this podcast. Yeah. But our next podcast is going to be all about that.
For real, guys, it's hard.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is fun, Ash. You're awesome.
Yeah, you're great.
Thank you guys so much for being part of the Dashley family. We love you so much and really do feel like we're just this big family. And I wish there were some way for all of us to get together somehow and have a big family reunion. Something that Ashley and
I... Like a meetup?
Yeah, like a meetup.
What does Michael say? Or Dwight?
All my kids have grown up and gotten married to each other.
No, like a net? What? Dwight? Like a net? Like a really big net? It's a quote from The Office.
Yeah, Ashley and I just went to Seattle and just made us really want to be more proactive about when we travel to places to organize meetups. And here in Utah, we need to just plan.
Yeah, we were going to do that in Seattle, but we failed. We did meet a lot of you out there because we met people every day.
People said hi to us every day. People messaged us, said that they saw us, but were too scared to say hi. Please don't feel that way. We love to say hi to anybody.
Our friends were like, who are you guys?
I know. They were like, wow, you guys... We were know a lot of people.
It's just the Dashley family.
It's the Dashley family. Chill out. They're the coolest people in the world.
Chill out. Palm trees for life.
So we're going to be better about meetups so we can actually connect in person because that's something that we want to start doing more. Thank you to our supporters. You mean so much to us. You help us out in supporting our work tremendously. And we're so grateful. What were you going to say?
Final note. If you know anyone in the Utah Valley area who is looking for a townhome... We are
selling ours
and our deadline for we sell ours and seamlessly move into our new house. That deadline is
in
fast
8 days
approaching.
Yeah. So basically our house needs to go under contract in 8 days or else we're going to have to either rent our house
or
not be able to move into our new house. Fun fact.
Fun fact. Mortgage companies do not like you to have two mortgages.
Yes. Okay. Well, on that note, we'll see you guys later.
Hey, bye.